Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Hi, this is Indy Lee, and welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Indy, thank you so much. It's so good to be here with you today. And you are the CEO, the creator, the founder of Indy Lee.
Yep.
skincare. We're going to go into that quite a bit and find out what the origin of this wonderful company is. But before we do that, I'd like to ask you about your life prior to 2008.
You got it. Shoot. You want to ask me questions?
You said you were a planner. What was your life? What did you do? Tell me about being a planner.
Yeah, of course. So I've been a planner probably, since as far back as I can remember. I mean, I was always the person who wanted to have her books out before school, have her outfit laid out before she went to bed. I mean, I was that bad. And then when I was thinking about college, et cetera, it was, okay, what am I going to be when I grow up? I had to know. I had to be that person who planned ahead. So I knew, okay, I was going to go to school for accounting. And then I was going to take over my father's business. And then I was going to run the business. And then I was, and it was just those things. And then I was going to get married. And then I would have two kids, a boy and a girl. I mean, it was that big for me. Like, it was all encompassing. So I went to SUNY Oswego up in Oswego, New York. Went to school for accounting, straight A student. If anybody asked where I was on my 21st birthday, yes, indeed, I was in the library studying because I was a planner.
Oh, my.
And the funny thing is, I'd already had my job offer. So I was offered a job at Ernst & Young on Long Island in their audit department because I was going to become a CPA. And I had received my job offer prior to graduating the summer before. But yet, there I was studying because I was going to finish off with straight A's. And I did exactly that. I went, got my audit. I, you know, did my 18 months in audit for Ernst & Young on Long Island. I passed my CPA exam. I then went and had the most incredible career with HBO.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so I worked in their international finance division, and I got to travel all over the world with them and help establish HBOs in Central Europe, Latin America, Pacific Rim. It was really an incredible career.
So planning, I, for one, have never been a planner. I've been told that, you know, how could I not do that? And to me, I am not a planner. One, I can't think that far ahead. And I never wanted to, because if it didn't come to fruition, then I would be disappointed. So I asked you about your life prior to 2008, and there is a reason that I put that year in. So planning, how did that actually go for you starting somewhere in 2008?
So great question. So here I was planning my life. Right. And I, by the way, had the two kids. I had the boy and the girl.
Oh, good for you.
Didn't exactly plan that, but
Did you have a dog also?
Yes, I had two. And I planned that. I was like, but maybe it wasn't planning. Maybe it was manifesting. I had the two yellow labs. I had the boy and the girl. I had left I left Ernst & Young because I realized, even though I planned to be an accountant, I didn't love it. And I left, and I was working with friends and building school gardens, which I do love. I love gardening. I have a 750 square foot greenhouse in my backyard, and I was really enjoying that. And then 2008 hit, and that's what really realigned my life into, you can't plan everything.
Well, yes, and I guess some of us learn that. I was going to say the hard way, but that's not what I mean. Tell me
You learn what by exactly? Surprise.
Surprise. Yes. There you go.
Serendipity.
Yes.
So 2008, I was originally working in the greenhouse and helping build school gardens. And in July, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. So I wasn't allowed to work in the greenhouse or in the back farm. So that was knock number one off of my plan.
Okay.
So, okay, what am I going to do? I have this huge greenhouse that I built. I had converted a quarter of an acre onto production. And my sister is pregnant. She announces she's pregnant with my nephew. I didn't want anything toxic going on his tushy.
Okay.
And so I started to create products for her to give to her at the shower. And then I made little miniature ones to give to everybody as favors.
But how did you even know to, I mean, what did you put into it? Had you studied something about?
I was always a DIYer. Oh. Always. I love DIY. I love Martha Stewart. I mean, I used to have all the Martha Stewart magazines, like with the little magazine holders. I mean, I was one of those people. I loved it. And so I was creating little products based upon, you know, I did research, of course, using ingredients that I was growing. And everybody said, this is what you should do. This should be the next chapter of your life. And I said, I'm not really sure if this is it. Because in 2008, you know, making baby products wasn't necessarily this career and something that most people were thinking about. And then the big change happened. What really knocked me, I guess, off of any course that I thought I was on. And I started to lose my vision.
So this had to be scary.
Yeah. So November, October, I started to notice I was losing my peripheral vision out of my left eye. And by November 4th, I went to the doctor and I said, something's wrong. I'm noticing I'm losing my vision and it's getting worse. And he said, we're going to need to send you for a scan. And I went that day for an MRI, and 45 minutes after leaving the scan, he called and said, can you come in? Now, when a doctor doesn't tell you this is what the results are and just says, come in, you know there's something. And I said, I'm not coming in until you tell me what's going on. And he said, okay, but do you promise? I said, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Just tell me what it is because I'm going to go Google. And he said, you have a brain tumor.
Oh, my.
I said, I'll see you in 15 minutes.
Okay.
So what you think your life is going to be and where it's going to be and what the reality is oftentimes very different. And you can't plan for that. And what I realized in that 15-minute drive, and mind you, I didn't call anybody once I got the diagnosis. I just got in the car and started to drive. I needed time with myself.
I understand.
You know,
yes, I know, totally. Yes.
I need to be with this. And I realized that I had been that planner and that I had been checking off the boxes of my entire life and I had forgotten the most important thing.
And what was that?
To live it.
To live your life.
Yeah. I wasn't. I was a passenger checking off boxes along the way, but not actively participating. And I knew in that moment, in that 15-minute drive, that my life was going to change for the better.
Okay.
Which sounds crazy.
No, no. I mean, it doesn't. You took that time. You needed that 15 minutes to yourself. And you told yourself it was going to get better.
And I knew what I said. I don't know what this is, but something incredible is going to come out of it. My job is to allow instead of plan.
There you go.
And be open to the possibilities and something incredibly powerful would come out of it. And I also made a pact with myself.
Okay.
And I said, I will no longer plan. I will instead live my life according to three other P's, which is living with purpose, passion, and to be fully present in every moment. For whatever long I had left, that's how I was going to live my life.
Okay. So
here we are many years later. And I've kept that.
Well, being fully present. The 15-minute ride. You got to your doctor's. What happened?
I walked in and I said, okay, what do we got? He was like, you're a little bit too chipper. He's like, did you take anything on the ride over? I'm like, no, I'm in a good spot. I know something amazing is going to come out of this. What do we have? And he said, I don't know. It does not look like cancer. And it wasn't. So, but you need to go see some heavy hitters. So I, you know, sought counsel from people at Duke, went down to the NIH, spoke to one of the lead doctors at Johns Hopkins, Sloan Kettering. And, you know, a lot of the doctors that I was speaking to said, you know, there's very little we can do. We don't really know what this is, but you could have as little as 6 months left. So you really should get your affairs in order and spend as much time with your kids as possible. To which I said, fine, I'm going to do that. But no.
Determined.
Very much so. You realize how important it is to live when you're told you might not.
Definitely. And I say that because so many people who have been given a diagnosis like that, a lot of people all of a sudden realize that, yes, instead of going into their shell and hiding, they're going to live.
Yeah.
And you had decided that on your 15-minute drive over. And no one was going to tell you differently.
No, no. It wasn't until I got home that I made the phone calls to my family.
And?
You know, there were a lot of the, oh my gosh, you're dying. And I said, no, I'm living. You know, I come from a mixed background in terms of, you know, I've got the Catholic, very Catholic side and the very Jewish side. So during the time between when I found a doctor who'd do surgery and actually having surgery and the diagnosis, you know, I had my Catholic side wanting to do prayer chains, which was beautiful. And then I had my Jewish side doing the oy vey, you're dying. I know a friend who's got a friend who has a doctor and all, you know the deal.
Yes.
And all I wanted to do was really, I said, you know what, thank you. I just want to spend time with my kids. And between the first two doctors, I went to see my neuroendocrinologist.
Okay.
And that was one of those pivotal moments because I said, okay, so what is this? How is this possible? Nobody I know has anything like this in terms of my family. There's no genetic history. And he said, we're seeing more and more of these things tied to the environment. And I'm like, environment? Like, I'm eating out of a greenhouse, pretty clean. What are you talking about? And he said, yes, but what do you put on your skin?
Really?
Yep. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think about it. And it's so interesting because if you remember, I was creating products for my nephew because I didn't want anything toxic on his tush. Never thought I was what I was putting on my entire body. And in that moment, I realized that was my awakening. That was when I realized that's what this was happening for, that I was going to create a line that was safe, that was effective, that looked really chic on a shelf, because in 2008, 2009, clean beauty did not look very chic
on
a
shelf.
No,
it didn't.
And more importantly, I was going to set out on a course to create a platform to educate and empower others to living their best life, their healthiest version of their life. I'm not a zealot. I'm not, 100% clean. I like to say that I live the 80-20 life.
Okay.
I certainly don't plan every moment anymore. I truly live in the moment.
Mazel tov, as
Thank
I would
you.
Say.
Thank you. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't realize and have a calendar that I know
well,
where I'm
yes.
going.
Come on, yes.
But I'm fully present for the moment. And when I got that, I knew that's what I was going to spend the rest of my life doing. Truly. And I found a doctor
okay.
who said, I'm willing to do surgery, but you have less than a 50% chance of waking up. I said, great, let's go. And I also believe the universe sends you signs. So he said, we're going to do it on April 22nd, which is Earth Day.
Yes, it was.
Perfect day to do this. So Earth Day, I walked in and said, today's a great day to live. Put on some kick tush music and let's go. Today's a great day to live.
And here you are.
And here I am.
So, you woke up. You could see out of both eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
completely.
Like, okay. Yep. And no longer planning, but you had a purpose.
Plan.
You
a
had
plan.
A plan.
A plan.
You had a purpose.
Yeah,
a mission.
Like a mission.
Yes.
A mission.
You had a mission.
Yeah, I had purpose. I think that's a better word than the
yes.
plan. I had purpose, and I was on a mission. And when the doctor took my hand and said, we got everything, welcome to the rest of your life, that was go time.
Okay.
So when you're given 6 months to live, you can be very specific on how you're going to spend your time. And so I truly, when my children were home from school, I was with them. And then when they were away, when they were at school, I was finding doctors who would give me a different diagnosis, prognosis. And I was researching everything I could about the beauty industry and clean skincare, and I mean, you name it. How to create, how to label, everything you could possibly know. And I dove right into that.
At that time, were there many, you know, I know that for years, organic eating, mm-hmm. you know, people thought they couldn't gain weight if they ate organically. That was a lot of, you know, whatever. But was there real competition? I mean, did anyone really have clean lines out there, organic?
It was just really starting. I really think that the clean food movement is what started this, right? And then mm-hmm. we started to realize our skin is the largest organ and up to 60% of ingredients could be absorbed. And so there weren't. I mean, Dr. Hauschka was around. Certainly Horst had started Aveda before he sold it. Tata Harper was coming on onto the scene about the same time. There really weren't many brands who were doing it at all. And I saw a clean space, pardon the pun. And for me, it wasn't about putting products on a shelf though and selling. It was about creating change and about creating awareness and talking about living on purpose. Like sometimes the universe is going to give you things like this. You know, I always say sometimes the universe is going to give you lemons and you have the opportunity to make limoncello.
You got it.
And if I can serve as a guide in that, you know, or if I can just help flip some switches in people's minds to realize they have the opportunity to live in choice every day and they can choose the lemonade or the limoncello instead of the lemons, then I led a life of purpose.
Well, I want to go back to when you got the good news, they got it all and you decided now your mission, your purpose, and this is what you're going to do. How did it start? I mean,
so prior to surgery, I had already had a number of products I had formulated.
Okay.
So I will never forget, I probably was up for 6 hours. I called my friend who was working on the website and I said, okay, let's turn it on in a month because I woke up. I didn't want to turn on a website and start a business in case I didn't wake up, mm-hmm. even though I had every plan to.
Yes.
But I said, okay, it's go time. 1 month from today, we're going to turn on the website.
Good for you.
And the funny thing I didn't realize is it's not so much as if you build it, they will come.
No.
Yeah, I thought that was. What came was my mom, my aunt, like some friends. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't realize everything that was involved with it. Yes. You know, I had a business background. I didn't have a marketing and a sales
Exactly.
background.
Yeah, like I got that.
So that was the awakening for me. But I really was ready to go. I had, there's a wonderful store in Mount Kisco called Beehive, and it's a cooperative. And so I would work there and learn a little bit about retail, and that was the first store that I had my products in.
Oh.
And from then, you know, you just learn to ask for help. Like, this is what I want to do. And
as women, yes, we might ask for directions, but we don't usually ask for help because we're looked at as weak. If we're looked at as strong or independent, then we must have a harshness to us. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to find that middle ground.
Yeah, what I have learned is that intrinsically people want to be heard and they also do want to be of service. And I don't think that asking for help is a weakness. I think it's a superpower.
It is a superpower because it takes a lot of guts to ask for help because you're admitting, which is, you know, like mm-hmm. cooperative, you're admitting that there might be something you don't know, but somebody else knows. And it's the question of working together. And it's not a question that, oh, wait, if I ask that person this question, they might know what I'm going to do, and therefore they're going to do it before me. No, those people are going to do it no matter what.
Absolutely. And so I ask for help. I believe that you should know what you're good at and know what you're not good at, and then surround yourself with people who are incredible at what you're not good at.
Exactly.
And that's what I set off to do. And I had no problem asking for help. I mean, there were points when one of my manufacturers, who's like still one of the gentlemen that we work with today, where I was like, I needed terms of like 6 months. I mean, I was trying to figure this out. I had sold all my jewelry. I emptied my 401k. Mm-hmm. I figured, well, I wasn't going to live. I was, you know, if I wasn't going to live, I might as well do something with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And and I set off on this course, but asking for help was one of the most empowering things that I did.
People don't understand that. To this day, they don't.
You're not giving up control.
No.
No, you're just asking for people to be a part of what you're creating. And people want to.
Yes, they do. One, they feel good that you're yes. that you're asking them, because then you're respecting what yes. what knowledge they have.
And then they feel they're a part of service. And I do believe that people want to feel that they're of service to others. I feel so good when I do something for someone else. I truly believe it's far better to give than to receive. And when you ask for help and someone's able to do that, they feel good.
So they're receiving.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. So you set off on this course, mm-hmm. Unplanned.
Completely.
But you knew that this was what you were going to do. You're the new kid on the block. You said you got it into Beehive first. And where'd you go from there?
So, it's so funny. Like, it was literally knocking on doors. And I was fortunate because I wasn't the person knocking. So my best friend, who's been with us since the beginning, who, like, went for the walks with me, went for every doctor's appointment with me. I mean, she was helping mix in my kitchen when it was done that way. She introduced me to Rebecca, who is one of my business partners, still is today, and she's wonderful at sales and marketing. And so she started to make some connections, and she has no problem calling people. She's amazing like that. In fact, I think you met her.
Yes, I did.
Yep. So we set off. So we made a list of the stores we wanted to be in, and we'd write to them, or, you know, we also did some, you know, the Christmas fairs and some of those kind of bazaars that you call, you
yes.
know, however you call them, and just start to get the word out. And then we realized PR was really important because, yeah. you know, if you build it, you need to let them know that you built it.
Yes, you do.
So we hired a PR firm. And then what we realized is what we said we were was this eco-chic brand, and what we look like were not a match. And so if you say you're one thing and you don't look it, it's very confusing.
Yes, it does.
And so we rebranded, and next thing we know, we're on the shelf of a Henri Bendel.
Okay. So that was one of the things that you said at the very beginning, or when we were talking, of course, I don't remember, but the fact that as women, we, you know, you're trying to get into a market where a lot of people really are, they think that if it looks good, it must work, it must be expensive. Mm-hmm. If it's not that attractive, a bottle, a packaging, mm-hmm. it must not really work.
Correct.
And therefore, I mean, it is all perception, but perception is, it's that elevator pitch, it's that first 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So was there anyone or anyone that actually you looked at and said, this is who I want to look like?
No. In fact, I didn't see it.
Okay.
And I was so blessed. In fact, yet another person who's been with me since, gosh, I think 2011, Nick, our creative director, he and I spent so much time on the phone, and I said, we look like this. This is not what I want to look like. And we changed it. And he really created the look that you see now and the iteration before this, which was very similar. And it is exactly that. You want people to be willing to pull it off the shelf. If they're not going to pull off the shelf,
they're not going to use it.
We're not going to use it. And so once people said, wow, this is this beautiful looking line, and it's very clean looking, and it's bright, and okay, well, what's in it? And
okay.
then they realize, oh my gosh, it works. So you have to remember, it has to be a sell in, which is taking off the shelf, but it has to be good enough so that you sell through, so that the repeat purchases come and people realize, wow, this is a beautiful line with a purpose.
Okay.
There's an emotional connection to the story. I'm happy to share with people what I went through and give advice, etc., and be very open about this, what I've done. And the products are incredible.
So let's talk about the fact that one of the things you're also doing is getting the word out there, getting the message, educating mm-hmm. Women on what are you putting on your skin,
yeah.
because We don't, I think that the majority of women do not realize what it is that they're putting on. You know, you look at all these skincare products and they smell good, which I'm not crazy about fragrances mm-hmm. and moisturizers, but they you know, feel it. They think it, you know, they look at different things and they don't have that real wherewithal to ask really what is in mm-hmm. it. You go into a shop and people will go, oh, you know, this one's the best, that one's the best. And, you know, there's a known name and there's not a mm-hmm. known name. How are you going about educating women, society, about the fact that skin is our largest organ mm-hmm. and the environment and what we put on our skin is important?
Right. Well, and I think what happened is so many people thought there was government. Like, obviously, we have a government out there and that they're regulating to make sure this is safe. And the truth is, the laws haven't changed since 1938. Okay. Yeah. So products are judged innocent until guilty. Versus, like, in the EU, you have to prove your innocence. You know, they have something like 1,300 ingredients banned to our 13, to give you an idea. And so it's having the conversation. What's interesting now is that society is starting to see this shift, which is why you're seeing retailers bring in clean lines. They're not, you know, originally I think a lot of people were fearful that, you know, this is going to ruin my business, or how can I have two different, a conventional product and a clean product next to each other? And we coexist. I mean, look at Sephora. They mm-hmm. have a clean section. You look at Nordstrom, you know, Neiman's, Blue Mercury. They're all bringing in
these clean
lines. And then you have these clean retailers that are dedicated to clean, like Credo, Aaliyah, Follaine, Detox Market, Citrine. That's their mission, is just to have clean products. So I think that the change is happening and people are starting to be more aware. The challenge for me was when I started, we weren't having conversation. And so it was a matter of getting into press. It was a matter of having desk sides. Yeah, but then you have to realize that a lot of magazines, a lot of their advertising was paid by conventional, you know, and so you're still not seeing a lot of clean on broadcast media, which I think
is really
interesting. But we'll get there, you know.
One step at a time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Everything happens the way it's supposed to, I always say. But you know what? You have these podcasts, people like yourself who are willing to share that you have a choice and to vote with your dollar,
yes.
Right? So I always say I want to empower people to make the healthiest choices. And I truly believe that your purchasing power
It does create change. And, you know, if someone gets just one little bit of information mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're curious about something, well, that's huge. That's all we can, you know, ask for, because then it's up to that person to do whatever discovery they want.
Absolutely. And my hope is that our website and what I'm doing on social media, et cetera, that those are all arenas for people to become more educated and more empowered about their decisions, right? So our website has a whole, you know, what I wouldn't formulate with, and explains why. We have, you know, a glossary that's a visual glossary of all the ingredients we do formulate with, and give you information about those plants and those ingredients to really educate so you can make the decisions for yourself. And what's wonderful is now the speaking, you know, I spoke at South by Southwest. We met because I spoke at an American Cancer Society luncheon, and I didn't have cancer, but it was really about living your best life. In fact, I spoke very little about products, but really about empowering yourself to live the best life possible. And so I do think that the education is getting out there and people are now being more mindful about their choices. And I always say, you know, you don't have to go and change everything. Change one thing at a time.
That's exactly right. And I think what you've created and getting the word out there, because as women, we have sometimes too many choices to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the education, just one little piece of information,
mm-hmm.
is huge.
Yeah.
Can make a huge change in your life.
Absolutely.
Indy, what you've done, what you've created, empowering yourself, living in the present, because the present is all we have.
That's it.
The present turns into the past, the future, but it's the present that turns all of that into. So what you've done, keep on going, lady,
because this is
wonderful.
Thank you.
Journey of a healthier lifestyle. I like that. And the website is indielee.com.
Yep. INDIELEE.com.
Indy, thank you again so much.
Thank you. I'm honored, truly honored. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking to another extraordinary woman who has made her mark on the world. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform and, of course, on our website, lifeofpride.com. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to keep up with the latest episodes. Review, rate, and take us with you wherever you go. We want to hear from you. If you know of an extraordinary woman, contact me at sylvia@lifeofpray.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This has been a Life of Pray production.